to farm there. And so most of my relatives live in South Dakota now because the government sent them there after the war. And my dad had a creamery there in this little town of 500 people. And
so it's always been 500 people?
Just about. Not many more. And that's where my sister and brother and I went to school in.
And how old are your respective ages?
Well, let's see. I was born in Huron, 30 miles away, and we moved to Westington when I was just a child, an infant. And my brother and sister were there, of course, too. And
you were all born in the 1920s?
Yes, I was born in 1924.
And Evelyn, what was Evelyn's middle name?
Lorraine, Evelyn Lorraine.
Okay. And she was how many years older?
2 years older than I.
Okay. And what's your full name?
Margaret Consuelo. When I was teaching in the country school, this little girl was from Germany, and she couldn't say my name, so she called me Tani Toop. So my family called me Tani Toop from then on.
Okay. And how much younger was your younger brother?
He was probably 5 or 6 years younger than I, and he wouldn't go to bed at night until I got on my knees and wrestled with him. So.
And what was his full name?
Charles Malin. Malin. Charles Malin.
Because that was my father.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And so he was born in 1928?
Probably. I was born in 24, and he was probably 5 years younger than I anyway.
Okay. And so by making you wrestle with him, it was like he was that much younger.
Right. I had to get on my knees to wrestle.
Yeah. And so what was the family dynamic like? Was there a pecking order? Was your older sister getting her way more, or was Charles Malin getting his way more?
Oh, I think they catered to all three of us.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So you were all treated fairly? And,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And did you have a lot when you were growing up? Did you feel like you were poor, rich,
middle class? No, we were pretty rich. My dad had a creamery, and he was the mayor of the town. And he would take a load of poultry into the World's Fair in Chicago. And I forget what year it was he went, but they were having a famine all over, and the people were so hungry. They ate the poultry that he threw away. They were so hungry.
Oh, because he was like butchering the poultry?
Yeah. Well, he would take the poultry to the World's Fair. And they all didn't make it, so he'd have to clean them out and throw some away. And the people were so hungry that year, they would fight over the poultry that was dead.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Huh. And do you know how long he was mayor, your father?
All the time that we lived there, he was the mayor.
Wow.
And we lived across the street from the community hall, and we'd have dances every Saturday night, and my sister and I went down to the restaurant. They always had a break for during the dance, and we told our dad we didn't have any money. He takes out a dollar bill and tears it in two and gives us each.
Could you use it?
The restaurant took it.
When you put them back together?
Yeah, they had to put them back together.
And that was your dad's idea of a joke?
I guess so.
Okay, let's see, what else was I going to ask about? Tell me about your mom. What was her name?
Her name was Bloodgood, and she was born in Huron. Her family lived in Huron. Her dad had greenhouses, and he had gardens, and he hired the high school kids in the summer to sell his melons, and they would drop the melons to find out which were the right ones to eat. They wanted to eat some of the melons, so they would drop a watermelon so they could eat it. They were high school kids on vacation for the summer.
So what was your mom's first name?
Hazel.
Hazel. Mm-hmm. What was her middle name?
Hazel Jean.
Okay. And she was born in Huron?
Yes, she was born in Huron. Her father-in-law was there from the Civil War.
Okay. So he was in the Civil War and was part of the Homestead Act or something?
Yes, uh-huh.
Huh, neat. And where does the name Bloodgood come from?
My great-grandfather that was in the Civil War, his name was Lewis Bloodgood.
Okay. And so you have ancestors from the Civil War, mm-hmm. from the Coop side and from the Bloodgood side.
Yeah, mostly from the Bloodgood side.
Mostly. Mm-hmm. And so they all fought for the North?
Yes, uh-huh.
From Ohio?
From South Dakota. Well, let's see, where did they come from? Well, I know they went back to South Dakota because they were given the land in South Dakota.
So before the Civil War, do you know where they came from?
The Civil War veteran was from Wisconsin.
Oh. Okay, so do you know what town in Wisconsin?
No, I just know that he came from Wisconsin and they gave him land in South Dakota, so he went to South Dakota to farm the land.
Okay. Because the regiments in the Civil War were often from the same local area.
Yes.
And so it was a Wisconsin regiment. And
actually,
so
uh-huh.
if you knew that, like, anything about his squad, or I don't know how mm-hmm. they divided up the army for the Civil War, but maybe we could track down what city uh-huh. in Wisconsin he was from.
Yes, probably. I had a copy of the Civil War letters.
Yes.
And I had them run off, and I don't know who got them. I think the granddaughter
got them.
Did you get them? Oh,
yeah, I've been reading them.
Now I know where they are.
Yeah, so do you want me to send you a copy?
Only if you have time. But okay. I'm just glad to know that you have them. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But the first time we went... they went to Texas to get the letters where the hospital was. They couldn't find anything, but on the second time, they brought out all this information that he had.
Because he was in the hospital? Because he was wounded?
He was wounded and was in the hospital in Texas. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I'll read the letters and I can fill in some of the details.
Okay.
I'm
glad you got them. I've often wondered what happened to them.
Well, you made many copies, right?
Oh, did I?
I hope so.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think
it may be Norma gave me her copy.
Maybe that was it.
But I hope there are others.
Uh-huh.
But I certainly have preserved what I was passed down to me.
I know. I didn't have any to end up with because I didn't know where I gave them, I guess.
Okay, well, you definitely need a copy then.
Yeah.
And was there another document about the family tree that you passed around at one point?
I think so.
And so you haven't seen that lately either?
No.
Because you were really the historian.
Well, more or less. I should have kept the records, which I didn't. I just... gave them out to different family members, I guess.
And you didn't keep a copy?
No. which I should have done.
Well, all you have to do is ask, and we'll come up with a copy for
you. Yeah, maybe Lori or Paul might want a copy.
Okay. Yeah, certainly. They should have a copy, mm-hmm. if they don't already. And maybe it's easy to lose these things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right.
So, let's see. You grew up in a house, and it was near the creamery?
It was in a house in Westington, in the same, just a block away from the creamery. Uh-huh.
And it seems like that house is still standing?
Parts of it. The last time I drove through, part of the house had been demolished.
And what's the address?
That's just Main Street.
Okay. It's just a number on Main Street.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I remember I grew up at 5037 Reeds Road when we lived in Mission.
Okay.
And then, of course, we lived in Overland Park at the same address the rest of... so that was... well, it was on 87th Terrace.
Uh-huh.
I'm forgetting the number right off the bat. But anyway, it's hard to remember numbers.
Oh. I know that... Malin had friends in Kansas City, and they had pheasants back in Westington. And
yeah.
So he'd take loads of his friends that he worked with back to South Dakota, and my sister just moved out of the house and gave them the house, and they would go hunting then.
Okay. Your sister lived in the house that you grew up in?
Yes.
Okay. So the house stayed in with the family until Evelyn died?
Yes, and it was rented out to some other people, and the last time I drove through there, the house was mostly demolished. There wasn't much left of it left.
Okay. And Evelyn moved to a lake, I remember? Or she had a vacation?
Yeah, she had a on Lake Byron outside of Huron. That's where she built a cabin.
Okay. And so she was still living in Westington, and she also had a cabin at the lake.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. And what was her husband's name?
Shoemaker. Ray Shoemaker.
Ray Shoemaker. Okay. Mm-hmm. And tell me about her children.
Okay. Let me think. Okay, she had Cherry and Sandy and Brenda. She had three girls. And one
Brenda was the youngest.
Yes, Brenda was the youngest.
And we called her Bunny.
That's right. You remember that.
Yeah, Bunny. And you guys put us in the same bathtub with Bunny.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's
and,
funny.
And we were grossed out or something.
Uh-huh.
So, and Bunny grew up and became, what does she do for a living?
Oh, I think I'm not sure. She worked in a restaurant.
So she would be in her 50s now, like we are.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I think I've heard from her not too long ago.
Okay, does she stay in touch?
On occasion, she'll write to me.
Has she been out to Seattle to see you?
I think so. Yes, I think she came to see me in Seattle.
And how about Evelyn's other daughters?
Brenda and Sherry. Let's see.
I don't remember Sherry very well.
Yeah.
I think I met her.
Yeah, Brenda was the oldest, and then Sherry, and...
And Sandy.
Sandy.
And I remember Sandy very well.
You remember
well.
Her, okay.
Yeah. Sandy got married a couple times.
I think so. Huh?
Probably had several kids.
Probably.
And I could never keep track.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you've got lots of information.
Well, I'm part of the family, and I went back to South Dakota at least twice.
Yeah.
And so I remember seeing the house where you grew up.
The old house.
And I remember seeing the new school.
Okay.
And I don't remember seeing the old school. Maybe it was torn down.
I think it burned down.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I remember that the population hadn't grown much.
No, it stayed around 500, I think.
Probably. So it seemed like a miracle to me that they had built a new school
for
a town of 500.
Right. The old school burned down.
Okay, so that's a good reason.
And I have a photograph of the kids out on the playground just having the best time when the school was burning. They were on the swings and so forth, having a good time.
So you were an adult and you took a picture of the kids?
I think I was in high school then.
You were in high school when the school burned down?
Yeah.
Okay. So that might have been a different school.
Yeah.
Because when I went, it was in the 1970s.
Yeah. Did you go in the sheep shed? That was the old building by the schoolhouse where we practiced band. And at Halloween time, the kids would get animals and put them on top of the sheep shed.
Oh, really? No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, okay.
Don't remember seeing that. I vaguely remember it was 4th of July, and there was a lot of street party type things going on.
Right.
And it was nice, hot weather, you know, good for evening. And I was probably 16 or 18 years old.
Yeah. You were there then. Was it during the 4th of July or?
I believe it must have been, yeah. Uh-huh. And I can't remember if you were there for that trip, but you might have been.
Uh-huh.
And we might have seen Evelyn on that trip.
Yeah, probably.
And then I think I went there one other time, 5 or 10 years after that.
Okay.
So I think I've been...
You never went with your dad when he went pheasant hunting though, huh?
No, that always kind of irked me because we were too young to go hunting.
Yeah.
And then he quit doing it when we got old enough.
Yeah.
Because he probably, I don't know, maybe Norma talked him out of it, or maybe he just never liked the idea of taking us hunting. So, you know, we were suburban kids. We weren't like he was. He grew up in a small town in a agricultural situation.
Right.
And so I was going to ask more about the creamery. So people, the farmers would bring their milk, and you wouldn't milk the cows.
No, the farmers would bring their milk to town in a big 10-pound can about that tall. And then my dad would run tests on the cream, and I know he would take it into the World's Fair sometimes, and... I think I told you one time they were having a famine all over the country and he had to throw out some of the poultry and the people fought over the poultry because they were hungry.
Right, right, okay. And so your father died when I was 10 years old.
Okay, probably. That's about
And that, I think, was 1967 or 68?
Could have been. That sounds right.
Because when he would come and visit, he would stay in our basement.
Is that right?
And our basement used to flood, and I just thought he was a tough guy to be able to sleep down there.
Yeah.
But he never complained. And then he used to make potato pancakes.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Do you remember those?
Yes.
And can you remember roughly how he made them?
No, he had his own recipe, I think, that he made.
What I remember was maybe he sliced the potatoes and fried them.
Yeah.
And then he made regular pancake batter.
Yeah.
And then he put the slices of fried potatoes into the pancakes.
Yeah. Okay, sounds right.
And that always seemed kind of odd to me.
Uh-huh.
But certainly not unpalatable.
Yeah.
I remember my mom not expecting us to want to eat them.
Uh-huh.
So she basically talked us out of wanting them.
Uh-huh.
And since pancakes were one of my favorite things, and I didn't mind, I like potatoes, I never understood why she would try to talk us out of it.
Yeah. Okay, doggy.
Maybe it's because she didn't like them. And so he was a bridge player.
Oh, yes.
And he was a bridge master?
Yes, he had his master's in bridge, and he hated to go to New York City because the ladies in the New York pushed him out of line. He didn't like them.
Okay. Did you ever go to New York City with your father?
Not that I recall. No, I think... I don't know if he ever came to visit.
Right.
There.
So, you went to the Wessington High School?
Right.
And then what did you do after you graduated from high school?
I went to the University of South Dakota in Yankton, South Dakota, for 1 year. And the last day of school, they said, the University of Minnesota puts salt on their coffee, but the University of South Dakota does not. And I thought, who cares who puts salt on their coffee? There's a war going on. So I joined the Navy then.
You joined the Navy?
I joined the Navy. Uh-huh.
Okay. And you served in the Navy for how long?
2 years, I think, Mom.
How many?
I think two.
2 years?
43 to 45, I think.
Yeah, okay, that sounds about right. Uh-huh.
And where did you serve?
In San Diego. I was in the Navy's office, and I recorded all the flights that went out of the flight San Diego. And I remember that.
So you were like a traffic controller.
Right.
For the Navy.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Okay, and so did you stay in San Diego when you finished?
Let's see, where did I go from there? I know that this officer came in and he says, I haven't got a crew today. Get on my plane. So I flew out with him over the Pacific, and I tested everything that I knew how to test. Then he said, now you have to check the guns. I didn't want to, but I crawled into the gun compartment. And we were way out over the ocean, and I couldn't see anything. I closed my eyes and fired the guns.
That's quite a story.
Yeah.
Okay, and so after San Diego, you went back to college? After the Navy?
Yeah. I finished college at the University of Denver.
Okay.
Graduated from the University of Denver.
And what was your degree in?
More or less education. It was, I went into country schools.
Country schools.
Mm-hmm. In South Dakota. Mom,
in South Dakota.
Before you went to the U.
Yeah.
Or after.
Let's see. I went to DU.
You met Dan in 47, I believe. You got married in 48. So you must have been at DU 45, 46, 47.
That's probably right.
Uh-huh. So you must have gone to Yankton for 2 years, maybe?
Just 1 year. Oh, I did my freshman year there.
All right.
Then I went into the Navy.
2 years.
Okay.
Did the GI Bill pay for your DU?
Yes.
So you're on the GI Bill, and you went to Denver University.
Right, and I graduated from Denver University.
And so didn't your brother, Malin, go to Denver University?
Yes, he did. He was in Kansas somewhere, which he liked, but we lived in Denver, so we required that he go to school in Denver. He wasn't happy about it. He wanted to stay in the school where he was.
I don't remember him saying or knowing that he went to Kansas.
Uh-huh, yeah. I loved going to Kansas' house in Christmas time because the ground in the backyard would be covered with snow, and here were all the redbirds, and we didn't have redbirds where I was from.
Was so. This when he was going to college or when he was in the Army? When he was in Kansas. I'm thinking he was maybe at the Army base.
Yeah, he might have been.
In Kansas, Fort Riley.
Yeah.
Do you remember Fort Riley?
Yeah, and he helped get the highways to New York from Kansas. I know he was in charge of.
He was the, yeah, chief of highway planning.
Right.
And he helped build the interstates.
You got it. That's it.
And so were you going to Denver University at the same time he was?
No, we were at different times.
Okay. So you graduated there in 47.
Yeah, I was just...
Or 48.
Was it 48? Yeah, that sounds more like it. 48.
Uh-huh. Okay, and where did you meet your husband, Ralph?
At Denver University.
So you were still in college?
Yeah, and then when I went to the Denver schools, he taught art in the Denver schools. He was an art teacher.
Oh, he was? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what class were you in? Junior, senior, when you met Ralph? Maybe senior?
Yeah, I must have been, so...
Okay.
He was 3 years younger, and he'd been in the Navy, so he was probably a freshman or sophomore.
Okay.
So was he still in school after you got married? He must have been.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I graduated from DU first, and then he graduated the next year, I think.
Okay. The next year. What was his major?
Art. My husband was...
So he was a Navy fighter pilot, or what? Air Force.
He was a Navy guy on the ships. He was a ship fitter.
He didn't ever fly. Okay. He was a ship fitter. What does that mean?
Means he soldered pipes.
Okay.
Then he majored at the University of Denver. He majored in art, and he was head of the art department in Denver schools.
Okay. Wow, he must have been a good artist.
Oh, he was.
A really good artist.
I think I remember some of the artwork hanging in your house.
Yeah.
Well, that seems unusual for somebody to serve in the armed forces as a welder and a outfitter.
Yeah, Navy. He was Navy. In the Navy.
And then to go into art.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so how did you meet?
Dancing, Mom, with Brzezinski?
Yeah, right. I went dancing... at the famous dance hall in
Gilich's, yeah.
And Joe Brzezinski, who was head of the school board later on, wanted me to dance.
Dip.
And I didn't want to dip. So he took me and introduced me to Ralph then. Ralph was his friend.
Okay. So you dipped with Ralph.
Right.
And what does that mean? That was a certain dance?
Yeah, that was a style they danced. They got clear to the floor.
Oh.
I didn't want to dip.
Okay. And then he started asking you out?
Right. Uh-huh.
And when did you get engaged? How long did that take?
I don't know, Lori. When did we get engaged?
Well, I'm pretty sure you guys met in 47, and then you said you were going to go back to South Dakota to teach. And Dad said, okay, I guess we better get married then. That's the story I heard.
Is that right? Okay.
Very romantic.
So he went with you to South Dakota.
I know we were both at the University of Denver at the same time.
You had a boyfriend in South Dakota, you told me.
Yeah, I did.
What was his name?
Lee Ettles.
Lee Ettles?
Uh-huh.
And is he alive today?
I don't think so. I haven't heard from him for a long time. He married and lived in South Dakota, I think.
Okay. So, I still don't know the whole train of what you did at the point where you got married. Where did you go to live with Ralph?
Oh, we went to live in my dad's backyard
in
Denver, in North Denver.
Oh, okay.
And there was a bakery right behind our garage where we lived, and every morning we'd have to smell these bakery goods came out of the bakery.
What was your father doing for a living in Denver?
He had retired then. And,
I don't know anything about that.
Let's see.
He bought a house in Denver, and yeah. What was he doing with himself?
He went downtown, and he was some kind of an officer on the street for the Denver Police Department. And I,
You're a dad?
Mm-hmm. He was an officer downtown.
Now, you remember him, right?
Oh, yeah, but I don't remember anything about work.
Well, he was retired when we knew him.
Right.
So I don't know other than him
in the 40s.
Running a creamery and being mayor, I don't know anything about his career.
Uh-huh. Well, he was mayor in Wessington, and then he took care of my mother because she...
She had diabetes, but she died in 49, Mom.
Did she? Okay.
She died when you were only 23.
Okay.
So he must have moved to Denver... In the 50s? Or after? He moved after you did?
Yes.
But you had relatives that owned a bunch of land around Helitches. Those were
right. The Callahans lived there.
The Callahans, that's a familiar
name.
The Callahans were the landowners of the Helitch property, or was it another family? So I thought that there was somebody that had owned a bunch of farmland around North Denver, and that's the connection to Clarence somehow. And then
Clarence Leroy.
That's right. That's my dad's name.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What's that? Where did you get that?
Can I share it with you? Would you like some?
Okay,
you've got lots of information that I didn't realize other people had, so you're knowledgeable.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
He had a little duplex on Stewart Street.
Okay, duplex on Stewart Street in North Denver.
Denver, which is now a really popular neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it was like probably built in the 20s, this duplex, and I remember being there. And he would come over to our house on the weekends, and he made us pancakes. You were talking about pancakes.
Okay, can you describe the pancakes?
I just remember that he did different shapes and stuff like that. But he died, I think, when I was in third grade, I believe.
Yeah, that's about right.
1966 or 67.
67, I would say.
Yeah.
I kept the memorial from his funeral.
Oh, you did?
But it burned in my fire.
Yeah. You remember a lot. I'm surprised you have such good memories.
I think the funeral was in June or July.
Probably.
I should give this to you, Andrew.
So, you don't remember what he did later in life before he retired?
Well, he owned the creamery in Wessington, and...
Maybe he sold the creamery and made enough money he didn't have to worry about an income?
He left the creamery with my sister Evelyn's husband.
And what happened to it after that?
I think let it go, the husband of my sister.
He didn't keep the business
running? No, he didn't keep it.
Okay. All right. So, let's see. You got married, and then you lived in Denver.
Right.
And did you go back to South Dakota after that?
Just on visits. We'd go back.
So you permanently started living in Denver. As soon as you got married.
Right, okay. Right.
Okay, and you both went into teaching.
Right. My husband was head of the art department. He graduated from University of Denver Art Department.
That's neat. And what got you both interested in Spanish?
Well, I don't know. Laurie?
Well, the only thing I can figure is that that previously very Jewish neighborhood started to shift and became like a Chicano neighborhood, and then bilingual, so I don't know. So it's funny because that neighborhood had a lot of Mexican kids where our neighborhood didn't yet, but now the neighborhood I grew up in is almost all Mexican.
Okay.
So I think that he just had a lot of Spanish-speaking kids. And then he just likes languages, too, so I think he just wanted to...
Okay, and so the name Lieberer has no connection Lieber has no connection to Spain?
No, it's German.
It's German.
Yeah, we know my dad's relatives in Germany and Austria.
Yeah, okay. We used to go visit them. Mm-hmm.
Really?
And he had this one cousin that always bragged about everything in Germany, bigger and better than anywhere else. Then they came to visit us, and I know we took him up to the Mount Rushmore. My husband pointed to the face on the wall. He said, "Have you got anything bigger than that in Germany?" He couldn't think of anything.
That's a good one. Okay, so when did you move? I remember in the 70s when we first started, the 60s when we first started visiting you all. Mm-hmm. You lived near downtown Denver off of Federal.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what street you lived on?
On Stewart Street.
Stewart Street. Do you remember the address?
It was a duplex.
A duplex on Stewart.
I'm saying 435 and 445 would be a good guess.
Okay, good. And so when did you move from there to Littleton?
77, maybe? 78?
Probably, when we lived in my dad's barn for a year or so, and then we moved to...
Newton Street.
On Newton Street, and then we moved to...
Littleton
then.
Okay. And so, tell me about this barn, because Denver is cold in the winter.
Uh-huh.
Was the barn insulated?
Yeah, I think so. We sort of built it over. It was...
You turned it into a livable residence.
Right.
Okay. Okay, and all this time you were teaching, and you were teaching what grades?
I was in the country school in...
South Dakota, but in Denver, Mom, you taught third grade, right?
Right.
Tell them about David Lefkowitz. Remember David Lefkowitz, a cantor from New York City?
Yes, Oh, what about him?
It's kind of a nice story. Remember he called and asked you to visit, and then we went out to New York, and he was. And
we went to see him in New York, and...
But you remember when he was a little kid, he used to sing in your classroom?
Right,
Okay.
He said it was because of her that he became a singer.
Oh, neat.
Even though his father was also a cantor, he was a very sweet guy.
Yeah.
We probably need to go pretty soon, so I'm going to shift back to talking about Wessington.
Okay.
And what it was like to grow up with your older sister and your younger brother.
Right.
And so...
And my younger brother was your dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Charles Malin.
Okay.
And he was 2 years younger, maybe? Mm-hmm. You already said, but now I forget.
Yeah, he was or probably
4 years.
Four or five years.
Four or five,
because
that's
I had
right.
to get on my knees to wrestle with him to go to bed.
Okay. So, and he became proficient in sports.
Right.
Because you had wrestled him, he became very good at sports.
Right.
And so he was in football, basketball, baseball, all the sports back then.
Yeah, in Kansas City, he went to every sporting event he could.
Later on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, wasn't there something about walking around naked with a cowboy hat in Wessington or something?
Oh.
Some story about your dad.
Really?
Walking down the streets naked with just a cowboy hat on. How old was he? Like 2 or 3.
Oh,
yeah,
2 or 3.
Like high school.
Was he drinking? Okay.
I know my mother wrote checks at the creamery, and my brother was only 5 years old, but there was nobody to take care of him, so he just roamed the street, and Wessington looked out for him, took care of him.
Well, the favorite story he would tell me was that he was 14 years old, he was making a delivery in the truck across the state line into Minnesota, and the state trooper stopped him and asked for his driver's license. And he said, "Well, I'm from South Dakota and we don't have driver's licenses." And the state trooper, I guess, looked it up in his little book and let him go. And he believed him.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he was 14, he was allowed to drive a truck.
Right.
Making a delivery of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Any other ideas of stories that we should think of?
Well, I think Mom used to tell us that you guys had the run of the town and that they had charge accounts everywhere and you could just go get whatever you want.
Right.
You wanted.
And my dad would pay the bills the first day of the month. And my niece took all of her friends into the restaurant and lined them up on the counter and said, "Okay, it's on my grandpa. He'll pay the bill."
That's
it only happened once.
Sandy did that.
Yeah.
Did she get in trouble?
My dad paid the bill, I think, but I don't think she was allowed to take all of her friends in again.
No. Okay. But so did that make you kids special that your father was the mayor?
Yeah, I think so. I think I believe I had some privileges.
It sounds like you kind of could do anything they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap this up, and maybe we can continue sometime later. But we probably need to get ready here.
Okay.
Okay. So thank you, Connie.
Oh.